chapter number 5. We're going to read just two verses to start. Get us kicked off here. Galatians chapter number 5. And we'll begin reading in verse number 13. So Galatians chapter number 5. And verse number 13. Here's what the Bible says. Would you guys stand with me real quick as we read this? Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. We thank you for this time that we have to come together and to be challenged by your word, to be strengthened by the truth that you have for us today. And I pray, God, that you would do just that this morning. Lord, this truth has challenged me. It's difficult. It's difficult to love people. I think it's easier just to try to make people feel happy about themselves and about their situation when truly we're called to love them, to help them, to make a difference in their life. And God, I pray that you just help us to restore that heart for love for people, that you would help us to return to our first love. And God, I pray that you would strengthen us today from this message, from this service, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. My family and I just got back from an incredible time. Earlier this month, we had a vacation to the mainland, and in that vacation, we went to Disneyland. Yes! The magical kingdom. It was amazing. And we decided to go to the mainland last minute. Really, it was a last-minute trip. We had been saving money for a vacation, but the timing just wasn't ever right. We had so much stuff going on. We always have stuff going on. There's stuff with the church and stuff with our kids, and we're just busy. And so we're trying to figure out when we were going to go. But we had saved up some money for this vacation. And really what happened was we were actually driving in our car, and one of our friends that used to live here on island texted my wife, and they have a girl that's the same age as Pete Ilani. And there was another family that used to live here on the island that also has girls, the twin girls the same age as Pete Ilani. And they grew up together the first few years of their life and became fast friends. And the two families moved away, but the girls remained connected. And this one family was going to California, where the other family was at, with these two girls, and said, man, it just doesn't feel right not having Pete Ilani there. And so they texted us and said, hey, would you mind if we pay for Pete Ilani to fly out to California and to spend time with these girls? And we're like, yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. And then Hanukkah looks at me and she goes, well, wait. I want to go. And so from there, we all went. But we kind of decided that since it was last minute and because we're going to do some things, we decided to surprise our kids. So they had no idea that we were going on this trip. None. In fact, we woke them up that morning. They thought that we were going to a birthday party when, in fact, in the car were all of our luggage loaded, ready to go. When we got to the airport, and they didn't actually figure it out until we were actually in security line. Wait, what? Because I had to do some rental cars at the airport, and I had told them we were going to go get a car, which was the truth. But we got to the security line, and they were like, wait, what? And I handed them the tickets, and they were like, oh, wow, crazy. So from that, it was just a wonderful trip, and much of it was a surprise. They didn't know we were going to meet these families. We surprised all the kids doing that. It was a great time surprising them. But one of the things that we were having difficult hiding from them was Disneyland. And so really on the second day in the mainland, we said, listen, part of this trip, we're going to go down to this other activity. We're going to go see my family who live in California as well. But then we're going to go to Disneyland. We told them straight up, we're going to Disneyland. And they were really excited. They were looking forward to that. We don't get to go very often. And so we were excited to go to Disneyland. And we had a blast throughout the entire vacation. But there was an excited expectation that at the end of our trip, we were going to, kind of the grand finale was we were going to go and we're going to spend a couple days at the happiest place on earth. We were stoked. And so finally, the day came and we left my parents' house and we headed out. And it's a trip that you can normally make with no traffic in about an hour and 45 minutes, but it's California and there was traffic. And so it ended up being about a 3-hour drive, which if you know kids from Kauai are not great about 3-hour drives. It's kind of, Papa, are we there yet? What's going on? Are we now going to stay here for the rest of our lives? What's happening? You know, they were really, it's a long time to drive in a car for 3 hours from kids who have trouble driving 45 minutes. But finally, we started to get close. And by close, we're about 20 miles away, which is about 2 hours of a drive. That's kind of the way it works there. And we're about an hour away, about 20 miles. And we were all really excited. We decided to say, we're about 20 miles away, about an hour with traffic. And so we turned on the Pandora station to Disney songs. And we started singing these songs at the top of our lungs. We were having a blast singing these songs, and we were so excited. There were smiles on everybody's face. I mean, we were, you know, it was La Sabena, Little Beast, right? That's what we were singing. We were into it. We were singing these songs, and at last I see the light. You know, it was wonderful. We were singing these songs. We were having a blast, and you know, we were singing Let It Go, Let It Go, and then one of my favorites was, I can see what's happening. What? And they don't have a clue. Who? They'll fall in love, and here's the bottom line, right? Our trio's down to 2. Oh, right? And then I look at Hanakapi, I twinkle in my eye, and can you feel the love tonight? And there was actually a twinkle in her eye looking back at me. It was amazing, right? Finally, we see on the green sign, Disneyland Drive. It's here. It's happening. And we pull into the hotel, and we get up to the guard gate, and with all the confidence in the world, I say, yeah, we're checking in. Last name, Gross. It was a dream. It was absolutely perfect. Until it wasn't. Because the guard, spending a lot of time in the guard check, comes back out and looks at me and says, listen, I do have in the computer a reservation for somebody with the last name Gross, but they're checking in on Thursday. Today's Monday. I said, no, I got the reservation right here. I pulled it up and looked on my phone, and sure enough, my heart sank just to the bottom. Boom. I booked the wrong dates. I don't know how I did it. I don't know what I did, but I did. And I looked at my wife, and suddenly, we couldn't feel the love tonight. I mean, I don't know what was happening. I mean, there was this, she's staring at me, this, what did you do? You know, I mean, babe, Kuna Matata, you know, it's, what happened? And the guard was generous to me. He said, you know what, pull in, go talk to the front desk. Let's see if they can help you out. So I did. I pulled in. The bellman shows up. And again, supposed to, he's like, hey, welcome to Disneyland. We're glad you're here. You know, I'm like, well, he's like, can I get your bags? I'm like, no, leave them in the car. I need to go talk to the front desk. He's like, okay, we'll leave it right here for you. And there was a line, and as I waited in the line, I felt so sick, so empty, so helpless. I mean, what did I do? My kids are over there wondering, are we gonna go home? And I got to an open agent, and I mean, our trip was ruined. It was ruined. And I got to an open agent, and I wasn't in the best of spirits because I just ruined our family vacation. And she reassured me that everything is going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And then she began to apologize on behalf of Disneyland. I'm like, you guys didn't do anything wrong. But she said, I'm so sorry. We will do the best to make this right. And we will work together. Let me make some phone calls. And she began to reassure me. And it took a while and a little extra chunk of money, some stupid tax. But we got everything right. And I have to say, it was the most unbelievable and incredible customer service I've ever experienced. It was amazing the way they made me feel. I walked away from that countertop, again, after spending a large chunk of money, and I felt good. I felt important. I even felt needed. But I remember the distinct feeling, though it was the best customer service I've ever gotten, that it wasn't love. And I knew it. I could tell. Again, she did a fabulous job. She was wonderful. She did everything she was supposed to do, and she gets 5 stars plus. Great customer service, but it wasn't love. And I knew it. Every company has a definition for what customer service means to them. For some, it means the customer is always right. That's customer service to them. For Disneyland, the vision, or the service vision, that's what they call it, the service vision for Disneyland is we create happiness. That's their service vision. We create happiness. And it is incredible to feel happy. Customer service means going above and beyond to keep the customer happy. And while it feels amazing for a person to go above and beyond to make you feel happy, it isn't necessarily done out of love. Christ-like love. You see, the modern American church has learned a lot from the customer service model of Disneyland. And there have been books, articles, and blogs written to churches about how to model the service experience like Disneyland. Now, don't get me wrong. It's fabulous. There's no trash anywhere. And if there is, there's some guy sweeping it up. I mean, it's quick. It's all well painted. It's great. You feel great at Disneyland. You just do. And if you don't feel great, it's on you, right? Because they do everything they can to give you this experience that's wonderful. And churches seek to do the same. We are going to make you feel happy at our church. We are going to give you a great customer service experience. You're going to walk in. You're going to get a bulletin. You're going to get somebody to greet you, say hello. You're going to get, for us, it's a chalet. You're going to welcome to our church. We are glad you are here. And I wonder if people come to church and they feel the customer service and they say, that was great customer service, but I wonder if they walk out having never felt love. Christ-like love. Because that's what they're supposed to feel at church. The modern church has become about convenience and happiness. And again, I'm not going to go into every example, but it's not hard to spot. You see it. I mean, you'll see, and again, I'm not necessarily against these things, but you'll see parking stalls reserved for the visitors, right? And I'm not against that. I think it's fine. But it's everything is geared towards this experience that you get very similar to Disneyland. And I think we got to stop and pause and look and say, are we loving people? Not just making them feel happy. Are we genuinely showing them Christ's love? And again, as I said, it's a challenge to me. I'm not saying this is an incredible, it's a hard lesson, because when you start talking about what love actually is, it's not something that you can just cheaply throw a free pass at. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 says, for brethren, we have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. So as we start our fall ministry, it's important to make sure that we are motivated by love and not necessarily just customer service. I understand they look very similar, but in the end, customer service is done for the good and the growth of the company. Disneyland doesn't create happiness just because they love creating. Well, I think some do, but just because they want to create happiness. It's good for the bottom line of their business. They make billions and billions of dollars creating an environment in which they create happiness. And I talked to some of the employees there, and they say it's a world of difference visiting Disneyland versus working there. Because you're always expected to have a smile, no matter what. Your mom could have died, and you're supposed to be at work with a smile on your face, creating happiness for other people. And you can be treated like dirt, and many people often are that work at Disneyland. And they're still supposed to create happiness. And if you lack in creating happiness, if you have a little bit of a bad attitude or a bad day, guess what? You're gone. That's how it works. This is a place where they create happiness. And if you're not up to that standard, if you're not up to that model, it doesn't work out for you. It's for the good of the company. Love, Christ-like, godly love, risks everything to meet the need of the other person. And when you start talking about how God loved us, in John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And so God's love for us involved Jesus Christ dying on the cross through horrific punishment and pain. Did he die because he loved us? He sacrificed himself. And the one thing I noticed about my customer service experience is Disneyland did not sacrifice themselves. They made more money off of it, which is fine. I'm thankful. Praise God. How much do I owe you? Just tell me right now. You know, it's the way I felt. Got to save this. And they did, and it was wonderful, and I'm grateful for it. But it was about their bottom line, and they weren't going to lose out on this transaction. Where love calls us actually to lose out for the good of the other person, the person that we're loving. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But God commendeth," he displayed, he shows his love toward us, "in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's love. That's what it is. It's giving of yourself. It's sacrificing yourself so somebody else can get what they need. Our greatest need is and was salvation, redemption. And God gave himself for us. And that's why I want to challenge us. And when we start talking about why we do what we do, it's very careful. We have to be very careful about not doing why we do what we do for our own convenience. And I speak to myself in this. Again, I've been challenged in this. It's not something where I look at myself and say, yeah, you need to tell, it's me, I need to do this, because there's a lot of things that I want to do just for convenience, because it's the simpler way. I, in a way, have become, not obsessed, but maybe, with efficiency, with getting the most results with the least amount of resources. It's fascinating to me. But that's not necessarily love. And we have to love people. And yeah, sometimes it's hard. We have these vans out here, and we run these vans, and we go pick up kids, and so that ministry is tough. And you know, honestly, it's tough because there's cost that's involved, there's sacrifice that's involved, there's time that's involved. There's, again, you have to love people who are at a place in life where it's difficult to love them. Not because they're terrible people, but just because they're in a bad spot. And you love them. And that's why we run the vans into our community. And so why do we invite our neighbors and our loved ones to come to church? And why do we send out those invites? Why do we keep doing that time after time again and having services and special days where we invite people to come and doing things for them? Why do we work and serve when we're tired, when we're weary, when we're struggling, when we're having a difficult time? Why do we continue to do those things? To provide a great experience? No, I hope not. We don't do what we do to make people happy as a primary product. The growth groups, again, the two services, the events, they're not about happiness. We do it because we love. We love God, but we also love the lost. And I didn't add an early 8 a.m. service, this service here that you're at this morning, just because it's hip, it's cool, everybody else was doing this, mate, let's do this, that's the customer service model. That's not why I did it. Because to be honest with you, there are things about having two services that I don't like. As a pastor, I get to see everybody, and it's fine. I get to see you, get to see everybody, get to welcome everybody, get to hear from you, and it's great. I get to hear from the second service as well, but you don't get to hear from them, and they don't get to hear from you. And in some small ways, we're fragmented. But at the same time, the second service will be packed. It'll be packed. And we need these chairs. And so we have to balance being stagnant versus being fragmented. And for me, when I read the Bible, I think the answer to that is that we choose to be fragmented because we don't want to be stagnant. We want to continue to provide a space for people to come, to be able to hear the word of God, to be able to be loved. I think Jesus said it this way in Luke chapter 15 and verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it? That's love. And all of us, I'm praying that all of us will have a heart of love for people who've never been to our church, who don't know Christ, who've never heard a clear presentation of the gospel message, who've never heard that God does love them and that God sent his son to die for them on the cross. And that's why we do what we do. That's why we make sacrifices. And it's hard work. It's tough. And I'm hoping for a better day when we have a larger auditorium and we can all meet together with plenty of room for visitors. We do this because we love the lost, not because we want to make somebody happy. I want you to think with this closing thought about this. What bothers you? Is it something that infringes on your happiness? Oftentimes that's what bothers us. If something threatens our happiness, even within a church family, that bothers us. And if we're put in a place where we have to work or labor or even be weary, that sometimes can upset us. And I understand that I'm like that too. But we have to remember that we have liberty not fornication to the flesh, but the reason why we have liberty is to, by love, serve one another. What bothers us? Is it something that keeps you from serving in love? And I hope if that is it, then I hope that does bother you. But there isn't much that can keep you serving in love, except for you. You can always serve in love. You can always do something. You can always find a place to make a difference. There's plenty of people to love. There's plenty of broken hearts. There are plenty of needy people. And again, the challenge to me is, again, I want to have a church that is warming and welcoming and that's kind, but I want to be a person that loves people. That's a challenge. But I want to challenge us this morning to be a people, to be a church that isn't just good at providing a good experience for those that visit our church, but really truly love them, care for them, meet their needs, praise for them to come, and then praise for them once they're here. It's not easy. Honestly, it's much easier to say we create happiness. Quiet Baptist Church, we create happiness, and be that our model. Because that's easier than to actually sacrifice yourself and love somebody. And really, our motto should be, Quiet Baptist Church, we love you. And have that mean something, as Christ loved us. And that's our challenge. And I hope that we'll pray about that. I hope that we'll examine our own hearts. Say, God, would you allow me to love like you want me to love? Like you've designed me to love. And make a difference in the life of somebody else because of the love of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today. We thank you for this time. Lord, I've been challenged by this thought. And I remember being distinctly moved and with the distinct thought that though I was so grateful for the customer service I got, and it wasn't just in that morning, it was throughout the rest of our stay. But God, I remember knowing that the treatment that I was receiving, though I was very grateful and though it did make me happy, was not because I was being loved. And God, my prayer is that if somebody would come to our church this morning, that I do hope they have a pleasant experience. I do pray that they wouldn't have a poor experience for sure. But I hope nobody would ever walk away from this church saying, I didn't feel loved. Oh, they gave me coffee and pastries, and they were kind, and I got a bulletin, and they welcomed me, they greeted me, but I didn't feel loved. And God, help me to be the person that leads the way in this, and I pray that you'd help me in my heart to love people like you would have me to. And God, my prayer is if there's somebody here today that has not experienced your love and that you died for them on the cross and they've never trusted you by faith, and I pray that today they would be saved. And my prayer to the church family now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that heaven is my home. I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven. If that's you here today, I want to pray for you. You say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you, if you'd slip your hand up, I'll see it. You can put it right back down. Is there anybody like that here today? Say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. And then, church family, would we love like God has called us to love? By love, serve one another and make a difference in their life. Lord, we thank you for this time. I thank you for our church. I pray that you bless this time of invitation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take our hymn books.